Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
I will provide the joys of your heart. Don't ever expect it, because it's pride. Pride in one's own religion will destroy you. Chapter 15, book of Jeremiah. And said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Wow. Now he's remembering back, because that's what he's basically said to Jeremiah. You're not a Moses earlier. Don't even try to change my mind. And God's saying it, even if it were Moses or Samuel standing before me, I wouldn't change my mind toward these people. Cast them out of my sight, and let them go forth. It shall come to pass, if they say unto thee, whither shall we go? Then thou shalt tell them, thus saith the Lord, such as for death, to death, and such as are for the sword, to the sword, and such as are for famine, to the famine, and such as are for the captivity, to the captivity. Wow. All right. Where are we going to go? Well, that your group right here, you guys are going to die. This group over here, you got to die too, but somebody's going to hit you with a sword. You guys over here, you're just going to starve to death. And that group over there, they're going to be dragged away and put in chains in another country. Doesn't look too good. They have pushed God to the point where he doesn't care. He will deal out the punishment, a harsh punishment, Christian. Turn your back on God. You know, if you're a heathen, live the heathen lifestyle. Enjoy the earthly pleasures you have here and then end yourself in hell. But if you know God, you've come to the understanding of God, and you revert back, then you have the Almighty punishing you. You don't want to be there. The world's punishment is enough to the heathen. He's not going to prosper in this life. May appear that way so. The turmoil inside will be enough to destroy him. Spirit came from God. He says, I knew you before I placed you in the womb. Nothing brings peace to the human. Nothing brings peace to the soul than uniting with God. These pleasures of life are nothing. Money will not bring you happiness. I promise you that. Rooms full of women will not bring you happiness. I guarantee you that. And I will appoint them over them. And I will appoint over them four kinds, saith the Lord. The sword to slay, the dogs to tear, and the fowls of the heaven, and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy. Wow. He is angry.
Straight out the book of Revelation right there.
Yes. Now he's going to scatter them into the world. And I will cause him to be removed unto all kingdoms of the earth because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for that which he did in Jerusalem. It's the one that set up his own little cults there. Hezekiah tried to put it back, because when Hezekiah got the throne, things were really bad. Baal was worshipped all the way around. He tried to reestablish. Couldn't tear down all the high places, but his son come in and said, Dad's dead. Baal is back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not Baal like we had. This is Baal super centers are going to be built.
Yes. Yeah, Baal 2.0.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. For who shall have pity upon thee, O Jerusalem? Or who shall bemoan thee? Or who shall go aside to ask how thou doest? And see that prophecy there in verse 4. And I will cause them to be removed unto all kingdoms of the earth because of Manasseh the son of Hezekiah. That prophecy is spoken of dozens and dozens of times in so many of these 66 books well, not the New Testament, but so many times by so many different authors. And it happened. Carried away into Babylon. But that one there, that was not the Babylon captivity. This is the 70 AD disbursement into the world, into the four winds. And I will cause them to be removed unto all kingdoms of the earth because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah. God has a red line. Don't cross it. That happened. And it's spoken of so many times. 70 AD, the Roman Empire came, besieged Jerusalem, destroyed the temple. And the kingdom of the Jews on this earth was scattered. And this is the amazing part. There's also a prophecy spoken of dozens and dozens of times in different books of the Old Testament about the coming together in the end days, about the reuniting, about the dry bones in Ezekiel. And the sinews begin to grow and the muscles begin to grow. And then the one statement, can a nation become a nation in one day? 1947, that happened. So this prophecy here happened in 70 AD. 1947, by proclamation, the nation of Israel began again. And you know, it wasn't a proclamation of the men of the United Kingdom in America. It was a proclamation of God in this book hundreds of years before they ever knew anything about it. And the amazing part is, for 2,000 years, Jews were scattered into all the nations of the world. But they still had an identity. How is that possible? Look at the immigrants that came to America, millions of them, in the last two centuries. And all of a sudden, they weren't that anymore. They were Americans. Three or four or five generations later, they were absolutely Americans. But not the Jews. They kept a national identity in the nations that they were living in. That's unheard of. Kept their customs. Kept their ways. Kept their clothing. I mean, and in 1947, there's a great call. And he says here, in this coming up in the next chapter over here, I'm going to send hunters and fishermen and all sorts of people to go gather them up and find them in the rocks and the holes of the planet. And they came back together as God said they would in the last days. 1947, it happened. And became a nation again in one day. Unheard of, but spoken of in this book hundreds of years before it happened. Thou hast forsaken me, Israel, Christian. Saith the Lord, thou art gone backward. Therefore will I stretch out my hand against thee. Really, that's a good father punishing his children and destroy thee. Wow. Destroy thee as a nation, but not as individuals. Because the next line here, I am weary with repenting. I've been thinking about doing this for years now. Because you just will not obey. It goes back to Moses talking God out of destroying them a half a dozen times. Oh Lord, remember, these are your people. You brought them out of Egypt. Everybody's watching. All the other nations are watching. You bring them out of Egypt and then destroy them here in the wilderness. Yeah, Moses, but they're so disobedient. Yeah, please God, don't. Fall on his face. Talk him out of it. But he told Jeremiah here right off the bat, don't even try that. Don't try talking me out of this. It's been hundreds of years now, and I'm tired of it. I'm done repenting of it.
I've been holding us back for plenty long.
Yeah. That's odd, God repenting. God is the ultimate of holiness. He's repenting of the desire to punish his children. He's tired of it. He's going to go ahead and do it. Just do it. I will fan them with a fan in the gates of the land. I will bereave them of children. I will destroy my people since they return not from their ways. Their windows are increased to me above the sand of the sea. Their widows are increased to me above the sand of the sea. I have brought upon them against the mother of the young men a spoiler at noonday. I have caused him to fall upon it suddenly, and terrors upon the city, anguish and horrors. She that hath borne seven languisheth. She that hath given up the ghost, her son is gone down. while it is yet day. She hath been ashamed and confounded, and the residue of them will I deliver to the sword before their enemies, saith the Lord. He has just devised so many ways to punish these people. Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention. To the whole earth I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury, yet every one of them doth curse me. Interesting there. Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention. To the whole earth I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury, yet every one of them doth curse me. God says, I have given freely of all the things of heaven to these people. I have never asked for interest in any way. You know, you give loan a man $100, you want $110 back. No, God says, no, I've given freely. Never with the intention of getting anything other than adoration, other than the heart. I just want them to love me. Yet every one of them curseth me. The Lord said, verily it shall be with thy remnant. Verily I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil and in the time of affliction. And that was the result of the law. The law was given because they refused to obey and follow God with all their heart. And God said, the everlasting covenant to Abraham, follow me with all your heart, circumcise your children. They wouldn't do it. Laid the law on them, things they could do with their hands to make it just to show God they were attempting to follow his statutes. Yeah, the heart is really not in it, but if I do these things with my hand, maybe it'll be enough to show God that I do try. Well, it was supposed to make them want to follow God with all their heart and indulge in the freedoms of the first covenant. But it didn't, and it actually did the opposite effect. They hate God. They curse God. Hey, spending all my money on sheep down at the temple. Sacrifice the best ones I got. You know, always just priests down there always asking for money. Can't even walk by the door without they grab you with that shepherd's hook and pull you in there and empty your pockets out. Now we have to cut up our own sacrifices and put in a bucket. Phinehas started that. It's all an abomination. And religion is something you do to make yourself feel holy, because God doesn't have any part of it. Shall iron break the northern iron and the steel? Thy substance and thy treasures will I give to the spoil without price, and that for all thy sins, even in all thy borders. You pay for your sins in this life. It just said it in black and white right there. And I will make thee to pass with thine enemies into a land which thou knowest not. For a fire is kindled in mine anger, which shall burn upon you. O Lord, that knowest, thou knowest, remember me, and visit me, and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Jeremiah there, in the midst of God explaining what he's going to do to all the children of Israel, Jeremiah says, remember God, I am following you. I mean, we talk daily. And it had to be a little discomforting. I mean, man of God standing there and God, I've got to wipe all of you out.
Yeah.
Leave me out, God. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. And there's a lot of talk about eating books, eating scrolls, eating words. Mm-hmm. And that means, it doesn't mean just to read through it. It means to devour it. You know, read this Bible once through in a year. You know, Okay, I'm glad you did it. Now, next year, read it 3 times through. The year after that, 5 times through. You know, and you get down to reading it through about every 3 months, then you're up to a good pace. That's what he says here. I have devoured your word. I didn't just read it, I devoured it.
Because what did Jesus say? Man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds down from the Father.
Exactly.
Fruit unto the Spirit.
Yep.
So he's literally saying that it's what we eat.
Devour it, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. And tell you what, Jonathan and I can attest to this. We have so much enjoyment in this room reading this book.
Mm-hmm. Genuine.
Yes.
Yeah.
For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thine hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. What did Jeremiah just do there? He reminded God of his faithful following of him. Christian, if diversity came into your life, could you sit down and remind God? And it's okay to remind God. It's the patriarchs and all the prophets. They've done it the entire book. It's okay to remind. But could you actually say, God, I have followed you with all my heart. I devour your word daily. I talk to you all during the day. I worship you. I adore you. Or would it be more like, God, I'm at church on Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday.
You see me, right?
Yeah. And I occasionally tell people, you know, come to church. I don't ever miss any of them fried chicken dinners after church, you know. No. That's religion. But what Jeremiah is telling here, I've devoured your word. I follow you with all my heart. Nothing about religion. Analyze your heart, Christian. God wants your heart, because the mind of this body is contrary to the will of God. And he says, I place the spirit in the heart. It's the spirit man's job to gain control of this mind. Yeah, you know that mind that has good and bad thoughts firing through it all the time? Well, the spirit man can get those bad thoughts under control if you push back from the table and stop eating fried chicken long enough to let him wake up. Food, excess food, not food. Food's a requirement for life. Excess food is the gateway drug to spiritual sleepiness. And you know that. You know that, Christian. Carrying them extra 30, 40 pounds around in your belt line. Carnal man is in charge. Watch them fat preachers waddle up to the podium. I can say that. I used to be a little heavy. And I know my spirit life suffered. I got heavy for 2 or 3 years, and it was not a good time for me. But I'm an honest man. Analyze your life. God doesn't want your religion. He wants to know you. He wants you to know him. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar, and as waters that fail? Therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again. Thou shalt stand before me, and if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. He's telling Jeremiah, there's a remnant out there of the precious among the not so precious. Let them return to you. Let them come to you for guidance. But don't go to them anymore. You've already gone. I've sent you so many times. It's going to come a time when God will turn his back on this world. And it's right after this momentary revival that I believe is starting right now. The man of sin, the man of perdition, the man of doom will come upon the scene. And the place is basically going to be placed in his hands. for the purpose of the persecution of the nation of Israel and the church of God. And I know Pastor Billy Bob told you that the big yellow rapture school bus is going to pick you up before that happens, but it's not so. Catch all of the episodes on WVFFradio.com. I prove it to you so many times. Just that 2 Thessalonians alone. And there's 42 other places. Rapture school bus comes right before the great day of the wrath of God. And I tell you what, there's like 2 billion people on this earth dead at that point. Mm-hmm. And a whole lot of them are Christians. John says, when he was taken up to heaven in his spirit, who are these in white robes beneath the throne? And where do they come from? These are those that come out of tribulation, and they must stay there until their number is complete, and then God will have his vengeance. I tell you, the dispensationalists started this pre-tribulation rapture. What do you call it? It's just nonsense. They started this nonsense.
Right.
And you know what it did? They could go up to the pulpit and say, rapture could happen before this sermon is over. You're going to be here. And the Holy Spirit is going to be gone. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be no hope for you. I tell you what happened. The aisles got filled.
Yeah.
People, this is happening in the last 50, 60, 70 years. You remember the great revivals, the Billy Graham revivals, and the
hundreds of thousands of
people.
Yeah,
the Jimmy Swaggart revivals. Yeah. I mean, and that's what they were preaching. Rapture could happen before I get down from this pulpit, mm-hmm. and you're going to be left here, mm-hmm. and it's going to be over for you. And there's people just streaming down. Fear. And, you know, if they truly found God, I'm glad it happened for them like that. But it's not the truth. Those men will pay for the error. They won't pay with their soul. They'll pay with their rewards in heaven for the error of their doctrine. Read Revelations 3 and 4 of the seven churches. I know you. I know your works are great. Tell evangelists of the 60 years ago. Outstanding. I mean, they were doing amazing things. Tens of thousands coming. I know your works. They're mighty. But your doctrine is not sound. I have this thing against you. Your doctrine is slightly off. You know, do I hold your ignorance against you? No. But your reward is just not as perfect as I wanted it to be. And that leads into all sorts of things like most Christians won't go to heaven. God's kingdom is where your ticket says you're going. That's a nice place, though. I would never not want to go there because I won't end up in heaven either. Just for the simple fact that I've read this book too many times and I still am disobedient on occasions. But in God's kingdom, I will be grateful because I deserve hell. And if it's not in your heart that you deserve hell, Christian, examine your life and read this book. All deserve hell. All falls short of the glory of God. One of the least of all sins requires you to be punished in hell. And only through the blood of Jesus Christ can it be covered and washed away. Not covered. Washed away. Completely gone.
Very, very unique, not to interrupt you, but very unique thing that I learned the other day about the word sin.
Yeah.
All right. It doesn't mean to actually strive for something and miss the target you're going for. It means to actually fire at the target that you're going for and to fall short before you reach the target.
Oh,
so when I learned that, I was like, wow. So that makes sense to the all fall short. So
yes,
all have sinned.
That's exactly what I'm glad you said that. I didn't know. I mean, every word
right,
matters.
Day before yesterday, I just found
every
it out.
Every word, the definition of every word. So yes, and it makes perfect sense. You get up in the morning, you do the best that you can, and you always fall short.
Mm-hmm.
And to fall short is to sin. Excellent, Jonathan. Verse 20. And I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall. They shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the land of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. So God, Jeremiah got his answer when he said, Lord, in the midst of all this destruction, please remember that I truly am following you with all my heart. And he says, okay. And there is a little remnant out there. You've already preached to them. Let them come to you. When they do, I'll build a brazen wall around you. And tell you what, Christian, you follow God with all your heart, there will be a giant hedge put around you. They call it walls. They call it hedges. This, all through this book, Job had a giant hedge around him. That meant the evil spirit world could not come in. A brazen wall. That sounds like even more angelic protection than what Job had. I will encircle you, my servant, because you follow me with all your heart. And that's all God wants from you, Christian. Examine your life and see where it stands. And with David and Jonathan on WBFF 97.7, Between the Lines. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.